Moncrief on News Talk.
People, speaking of kids, often seethe at the idea that children can be given participation medals that they are, and that they are placed in a world where they are protected from failure, a world where nobody loses. But writing in today's Examiner, Dr. Richard Hogan argues that this does our kids and ourselves more harm than good. Afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Do you think our culture in general makes us all terrified of failure now?
I do. I think we have an absolute kind of disease of the fear of failure in our generation, and particularly in our teenagers, but in adults as well. You know, I work clinically with this, Sean, and I think we have this terrible fear of reaching out and not landing in what we want. And so it positions us then in this kind of paradigm: don't go for something because that's too painful when you don't get it.
Yeah.
To me, that is the opposite. It's the antithesis of like thriving.
So where has that developed from then, do you think?
Well, I suppose, you know, in a bit of parenting, we're trying to remove all the obstacles from our children. We've got the desire for them not to experience adversity. And I think we're motivated by that. And of course, that's out of love, and it's out of a real genuine motivation to kind of like, you know, please your child and help them and to protect them. But of course, it's like the pandemic, you know, you need a little bit of that adversity. You need a bit of failure in your life. And I'd reframe it, you know, you need a little bit of those learning moments. You need to not succeed at times. As Bill Gates says, success is such a poor educator. We really learn. I mean, if you think about yourself, Sean, in your life, in my own life, when did you really learn? It's from those moments when you didn't land. It's from those moments where you didn't get what you wanted to get in that moment. And then all the bounty that came in after that. And so you can fall under that, you know, that failure, or you can thrive through it. And it's such an important thing that we give our kids that ability to be courageous, to be bold and to be resolute. So when they go out there, they reach out into the world and they try to manifest the best of themselves that they can be, because to be here on this earth, you know, this it's such a gift. It's a 400 quadrillion to the power of 150,000, the chances of your life. And if you're going to live with fear, you'll look back later and you'll say, what was all that about? Why didn't I go for things? Why didn't I test myself? Why didn't I push myself? And the answer will be bloody well fear.
Mm. Yeah, because at the same time, and I understand the urge parents would have to protect their kids from disappointment and pain and all the rest of it. Also, though, children are kind of absorbing their parents' way of operating in the world. And if their parents have that little bit of fear as well, then they're going to just copy that.
Oh, well, the modelling is one of the most powerful templates that we experience as children. Of course, we kind of, you know, we live out some of the paradigms and some of them see ahead of us. Of course we do. And that's why it's important for parents to be bold as well and to be courageous. And, you know, 47, Sean, is really our happy year as adults. A lot of people I speak to have gone into careers that they didn't really want to go into. They, you know, they didn't go really wanted because they believed they weren't able to get what they really wanted. And that's the roots of midlife disquiet, and it really unsettles you there in midlife. You look back at your life and think, God, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I wanted at all. And I suppose that's what I'm trying to say in the article is, like, you know, thrive and go for things and go for what you really want. And that's what better modelling for your children than that? You won't always get it. And then the great modelling is when you explain to your children you didn't get it and how you managed that. Because I think we're very bad at talking about not going for a promotion and not getting a promotion. And we're very bad about talking about the moments when we don't land on things. We're kind of awkward around that. We need to be actually celebrating those more, because that will help us to launch out more and to kind of like thrive in our lives.
Well, actually, and I think maybe you've touched on the central point of it there, that adults are very reluctant to talk about their failures. If they didn't get a job, yeah, or if their business went a belly up, that there's a degree of shame that goes with that.
You're absolutely correct, and that's why we need to remove the stigma from this. I remember the most exhilarating things I ever read was from a lecturer who was retiring. He had an illustrious career, and what he printed in his final kind of like goodbye to Harvard was all the ships and all the things he went for that he didn't get. And basically he was showing that, well, if you look at my life, it looks really successful, but here's all the aspects I didn't get. And that's really important, because we don't see that when we look at people who we say, you know, under the metric of success, we think they're very successful. We don't see all the things that got them to there. And there is a myriad of moments where they didn't succeed, they didn't land in it. And we have to celebrate those more. We have to talk about those more. And that's exactly it. That's the crux of the issue. We shouldn't stigmatize failure. We should be celebrating it as a learning moment. I think that will allow us all to be a little bit more positive.
And has that transferred itself into the way we structure competitions for children, that, you know, everyone gets a prize now and that kind of thing?
I think I think we are creating this generation of like, you know, there's no winner kind of thing, because we're frightened of that idea, and kids can see through that immediately. Kids love competition. Kids love to, you know, to have the final, and, you know, watching with the World Cup and the finals and the hurling, and they love the finals. I mean, that's a really important thing. And it's, again, we shouldn't stigmatize the fact that you don't get in there. That's okay. Next year you'll go again and go, and maybe next year you'll get it. And that's the key, you know, that we don't kind of this kind of idea that we must all be winners at this level. No, I think it's important that we have competition. And if you don't win, that's okay. You regroup and you go again next year.
Yeah. What about people though who continuously fail?
Well, I think you need to, I'd have to look at that and see, what, you know, what's the reasons there. When you say fail, what do you mean there?
I want to be a ballet dancer, and
Well, of course,
I'm awkward.
That's a very good point. Yeah, no, I could never be Usain Bolt. I am massively restricted by my genetics there down in Cork, and I'd never be Usain Bolt or Mike Tyson, and I have to come to terms with that. And I suppose if we're telling our kids that they can be absolutely everything they want to be, again, we're probably setting them up. I think what we need to do is help them to see what is in them, what they love, and then to push them and help them to move towards that and be fearless in their pursuit of what it is, while also acknowledging you can't absolutely be everything. I can't be Usain Bolt, or I'm not going to be James Joyce. That's okay. I have to come to terms with the limitations, but also by celebrating what I have in my personality and my character that are positive.
Yeah, indeed. Dr. Richard Hogan has got over his disappointment at not being Usain Bolt to become a family psychotherapist, author and columnist with the Irish Examiner. Richard, thanks a million.
Thanks, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.